right. Well, we've been talking about prayer, as I said a few minutes ago here. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 is kind of our prayer. And we mentioned that Paul was talking here, and he said, finally, he's talking about some final things here. And he told us to put on, that we're to be, first of all, to be strong in the Lord, the power of his might, verse 10, and to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the strategies, the plans, the plots of Diablo. That is his, you know, in the Greek, Diablo, the devil, the plots of the devil, how we're going to stand against him. We're going to stand fully arrayed in the armor of God. Amen. And we stand arrayed. He said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against the principalities and powers, verse 12. That we're wrestling against the principalities and powers of the enemy. Because it's not the flesh and blood that's doing it, but behind all of that, there are powers of darkness, rulers of darkness, that work against us that are in this world. The Bible says that Satan was cast out of heaven, actually cast down to this lower earthly realm. Hallelujah. Now, some people I know, there was a time for a little while that they were renting airplanes and helicopters and trying to get up to the highest floor on, you know, like the Empire State Building or wherever, because they're going to do war in the heavenlies. But how many know the spiritual realm is not in our realm? Amen. Hallelujah. This is a three-dimensional realm that we live in, and the spiritual realm is beyond that. Although they work and they plan and try to bring disruption to us, we have authority against it. And so we take to us the whole armor of God and we stand in the evil day. And we are able to stand. And what does that mean? If we're going to stand, that means we're winning. We're going to win. This is not a stand to where we just, you know, oh, well, I'm making my stand. I'm trying to succeed. No, we're clothed in the armor of God. We have our stand. We know in whom we believe. We know we have victory. That's why we're getting ready to go into prayer here, Paul said. We have on the loins of, you know, the belt of truth. Our loins are girt about with truth. Well, how do you do that? Well, if you look over here in Ephesians chapter 4, very simple, where he said to, we put off something, amen, and we're renewed. It says, but ye, well, let's see, verse 20 said, but you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you heard that and have been taught by him, chapter 4, verse 20, Ephesians 4, we've been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and were renewed in the spirit of our mind. And we put on the new man after God, created in righteousness and true holiness. And then we get verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying. Now that would have something to do with having on the belt of truth. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. So how do we put on that belt of truth? Well, number one, we stop lying. Oh, okay. That would be a good thing to do, because you're not going to have truth if you're lying all the time. You know, we're not cheating on our taxes. We're not, you know, telling the little white lie. We're not letting others believe that what we said is a certain way when it's not. How many ever done that? Maybe you just let them believe something. I'm not talking about every, you know, I mean, sometimes there's nothing you can do. You know, they believe something, that's the way it is. you know, God understands that. But if you've said something to someone and you led them to believe something a certain way, that makes you look better, right? Anybody ever done that? You know, we all want to look good, you know. We didn't exactly lie, you know. No, we just let them believe something that wasn't true. The intent was to deceive. You say, well, how'd you learn that? From the Holy Ghost. From doing that. And him talking to me about it. Oh. It's good. It's the truth. That's how we get on that belt of truth. We stop lying. We say, no, I'm going to live by truth. You know, it was a belt that came around here, the loin belt of truth, you know, and they had a little, some things that hung down to try to cover their loins, and it held up their armor. If they lost that belt of truth, their arm, you know, they were in trouble. It held their sword on one side. You've got some daggers there they had in the back of it. It was very interesting. You know, he's using something that the people of their day, they knew about the Roman armor. They saw it. Said, wow. I mean, they were clothed. They were not just, it wasn't something simple. He said, stand there for having on our loins girt about with truth. We have the breastplate of righteousness. Amen. How many know that Jesus is our righteousness? See, it's not just about, oh, well, you know, yeah, when you're 6 and 7, you can put on the armor of God. Yeah, let's put on our armor. That's great. But, you know, as you are, we're supposed to mature in the Lord and understand that that armor, when we understand what righteousness is, that Jesus is my righteousness, not my righteousness, but we're standing in his righteousness. The Bible says that he became sin for us, that we might be what made the righteousness of God in Christ. See, Abraham had that accredited righteousness, but we've got the righteousness of God. And we have that breastplate on. We understand. Okay. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, that's a very interesting thing. Their feet were shod. They kind of looked like sandals, but they'd have those big spikes underneath, and they were quite sharp because sometimes they had to walk in rocky areas. But part of those shoes was the shields. They had these metal shields that went over their legs up to the knees from the, you know, or we would say the top of our shoe, but that was part of their shoes of peace. Why? Because sometimes they got to walk through the briars and there's things that would cut their legs and so forth, but they were protected. It looked like they've got these metal boots on, you know, but their feet. You know, and also when they could, there are times they have to plant their feet. I mean, you know, they've got those spikes in their shoes. They're not going anywhere. They're not going to just fall off if they have to climb over some rocks and everything else. It was to help them grip things and to walk and to be ready. Hallelujah. And when we have the peace of God, it causes us to be stable. It'll sustain you. We talked a little bit about that when we were talking about worship, how it helps to still the enemy of our soul. Amen. And we said, you know, and so, hallelujah, it's good that we know what our armor is. Amen. We've got the preparation of that gospel of peace. Are you prepared with peace? The peace of God. Amen. We talked about the other couple weeks ago there about being ambassadors of the Lord. We bring the gospel of peace. Why? Peace what? Peace with God. People that don't know Jesus don't have peace with God. They're an enmity with God, the Bible says. That they're an enemy of God. They may not realize that, but that's really what it comes down to. The Bible says there's enmity, or you're an enemy with God. They don't have that peace that passes understanding. Hallelujah. But we have the peace of the gospel. Amen. It protects us and it keeps us safe and it helps us to walk in the right ways. Amen. Gospel of peace. Above all, it says taking that shield of faith. How many know they had that big shield? They could set that shield up. It's pretty heavy. It's kind of tough to carry. But you know, they would do that, and we have to be ready, and we got to be tough. Amen. Get that shield would cover them. I mean, when I get that shield up there, it's pretty thick. There's nothing coming through that. The shield protects us. It's a defensive weapon. Sometimes we realize, you know, we think, well, faith, that's offensive. No, faith is really defensive. We're standing our ground. We're blocking the enemy from attacking us. We're saying, no, we're not going to accept that. We're going to stop all the fiery darts. We're with you. You're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. How many know we have a helmet of salvation? We know whom we believed. I mean, if your head's not protected, they would have a little shield that went down over the back of their neck, you know, and, you know, it covered them, covered their head. They got to have protection. Amen. Jesus protects us. Amen. He is our salvation. Hallelujah. We have protection that way with the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. They had the double-edged sword. They would pull that sword out, and it was, you know, pretty good size, and it's got two edges. It's going to cut no matter what direction you go. You're cutting something. And they were very effective. Now, there's one of our offensive weapons, the word of God. Amen. Jesus attacked the enemy, what? With the word of God. We can attack, and we can destroy principalities and powers, what they want to do. And then it says here, praying always. That's what we're trying to get here to this 18th verse. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now see, they also had something else that they had with them, and that was a lance that they could, you know, like a spear, you know, that they carried. The lance of prayer, where we can shoot from a distance and hit our target and bring destruction to the enemy and bring salvation to, you know, answers for other people too and for ourselves. Amen. We don't have to stand right up close to the enemy, but we can throw from a distance and boom, we're sending our prayer out there and affecting things in the realm of the Spirit. So, praying always with all prayer, or all kinds of prayer, we said, in the Spirit. Watching whereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul said, and pray for me that utterance may be given to me. You can pray for me that I'll have utterance. And I'll open my mouth boldly. Thank you. Amen. All of us can have that. To make known the mystery of the gospel. And there he said, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. God wants us to be that ambassador. But here we have all kinds of prayer. And we talked about the prayer of commitment, of course, casting your care. And last week we talked a little bit about how prayer was vital contact with God. Amen. And when we make that vital contact, there are certain spiritual reactions that take place. There's a divine exchange that takes place with God. Our weakness for His strength. Amen. How many know we don't have any strength in the flesh, but when we're in the Spirit, look out, devil, because we're coming to take your kingdom from you. Enforce your defeat. Jesus paid the price, yes. He gets all the glory, yes. But we have a responsibility to exercise our authority and to cause His defeat. Hallelujah. That's the good news of the gospel, amen. It is the power of God. All right. And we know God, of course, when we fellowship with him in prayer. We get to know him. We talked about how when we spend time with God, with the Father. Now, when I talk about prayer, I mean worship. You may get your Bible out. You may have some scripture too, you know. You're spending time with God. And he is communicating with you. You're communicating with him. And he's bringing that divine exchange and communicates to us in our inner man. Or the Bible says the inward man, that inner man or the man of the heart, the hidden man of the heart. We talked about that. What is the spirit of man? It's the very heart of who we are. It's our very innermost being. The Bible says out of the belly or out of the very heart of man flows the issues of life. And there comes, you know, of course, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we have a river of life, right, that we can pray for forth, amen, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he helps us in our prayer. Glory to God. But here, all kinds of prayer. We talked about that. So, and we talked about there being a renewing. He said he'll renew the strength. That divine exchange, as we fellowship in close communion with God, there will be a divine exchange. You'll exchange your weaknesses for his strength. And we realize that if we're prayerless, we're going to be powerless. Oh, hallelujah. That was good anyway, wasn't it? If we're prayerless, we're going to be powerless because we can't do it in our own strength. Nobody can. I don't care how great you are or how wonderful you think you are. You can't do it in your own strength. And when we try in the flesh, it never succeeds. It may a little bit. The beginning may look like it succeeds. But in the end, we don't win. Amen. So prayer is not an option. It's something that we have to continue in and continue to pursue. Luke 18:1 says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14:4. He says, praying in other tongues, of course, keeps our spirit charged up and built up. Now maybe, I mean, I think everybody in here, if you pray in other tongues, we've talked about that a lot. So, but 1 Corinthians 14:4. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. He that prophesies, of course, edifies the church. But when we begin to pray in other tongues, and one way, of course, we know that there's four uses of tongues. You know, tongues for interpretation and a service, right? Tongues in intercessory prayer. You know, tongues to be as a sign to the unbeliever. And then, of course, primarily, tongues for personal edification. And we've talked about all of those. And that's really, when we move into prayer and the Holy Spirit begins to help us, there's a dimension that takes place and an exchange on the inside of us that begins to build because we begin to know who he is and who we are. And we understand that, yes, he's God, but yet he lives in us and he works with us. And the divine exchange that takes place as we begin to understand his character, we begin to understand who he is, we begin to take part of his faithfulness, his love begins to empower us and strengthen us. We begin to understand the love of God and we begin to walk in that love because there's a fellowship that takes place that nobody can give you, that nobody can lay hands on you and place in you that divine experience that you have personally with God in prayer. When you communicate with him, spirit to spirit. See, he doesn't communicate with our natural mind per se. Now our natural mind finally gets it, but he communicates to us spirit to spirit. See, because within inside of us, in this natural fleshly body, I have a spirit, and you have a spirit. Now, other humans have spirits too. Everybody does, every human being that was brought in to the earth by, the Bible says, the will of man. Well, wait a minute, I thought God made us. He did make us. But he set into law the law of Genesis. When a man and a woman get together, however that takes place, and there is close contact, hallelujah, you know, the man's seed touches a woman's egg, and there is brought forth an eternal being, a human. Now, some people say, well, God just sends it down. No, he didn't determine it. You determine. He told Adam and Eve, you go and replenish the earth. Hallelujah. See, we have a will, and God placed that in the being. It happened every time, you know, eventually, you know. It happens every time that sperm touches the egg and fertilizes it. And that child comes forth and he begins to be formed in there. Well, when he's formed, his spirit is there too. Because we are a three-part being. He is there too. His spirit, boom, eternal life came into that child the moment it was conceived. There's eternal life living there. And it grows with his natural body, cell for cell. And so we come out. Of course, we're not born alive to God. We may be, we're born innocent. We're not necessarily responsible for our behavior until we know right from wrong, which it, to me, is different ages. You know, some people try to put a certain age, but, you know, I know people have been saved at 4 years old, and, you know, they knew they needed Jesus, gave their heart to God. And I know I remember when I was 9 years old, I know right from wrong, and I begin to be convicted in my heart, trying to figure out why I can't do what's right. Why it isn't God stop me? Because I wasn't born again. My spirit was of death nature. It was of sin in the flesh. A fleshly death nature. It didn't want God, didn't know God. Had to be changed, and that's when we are born again, and the power that our new nature has on the inside of us is enough to overcome any sin. That born again spirit itself is enough for us to not sin. We don't have to. You don't have to. Everybody says, well, maybe you gave into it, you did sin, but you did not have to sin. He said sin would no longer have power over us. Because the new nature, that nature that was born again, has enough power to overcome all sin, period. If we make excuses, then that means we don't want to change it. We don't want to change. We don't want to do God's way. See, sometimes we'll excuse something. Well, you know, I just have a weakness there, and I just couldn't help myself. Yes, you could. Because that nature is enough. God's power changed you. You weren't left the same. You have a new father. We had to be born from above. We now got a nature that's alive to God, full of light. Hallelujah. I didn't know I was going to get onto that first, but let's turn for just for a minute. So, well, what do you mean? Well, let's look over at John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. Not anything made. It was all made by him, in Christ, right? Was life. That life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness could not extinguish that light that was in Jesus. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which shineth to every man who cometh into the world. Hallelujah. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. They're born not, and then the 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of men, were born of God. In other words, their second birth, our next birth, was of God. Our first birth in John, we'll see in John 3, if you remember, you must be born again. But here, Jesus was here alive to the Father. In the beginning, before there was a beginning, was the Word. Now that kind of wakes out your brain a little bit, because in the beginning, before the beginning was, God was. Amen. Was the Word in the beginning. Was the Word. And the Word was with God. That Word was God. He was the light of the world. Now, and that light shone in the darkness, and it didn't, they said he didn't comprehend it, or they could not extinguish this light that Jesus had. He was alive unto the Father. See, now you and I, when we receive that new nature, we have that same life. Verse 12 says that we got the power to become the child of God. We received a power on the inside. Our nature was changed. We went from darkness to light. As he is light, so are we in the world, right? He said, I'm the light of the world. Now you go. You are the light of the world. Amen. We are that light. Why? Because we've been lit. He changed us from darkness to light and lit our spiritual candle on the inside and gave us power to walk with him. That nature can be trusted. We talked about that a couple weeks ago there, where we said, what, that the conscience over in Romans chapter 2 bears witness with our spirit. It tells us right and wrong. Let's look at that a minute. Romans 2. Well, I didn't know I was going to get onto that, but anyway, it's all right. It's good. I just wanted to show you, because I was talking about some things, and I want us to see the Word of God declares we have power over that sin. We don't have to. We're not bound to sin any longer. You've been set free. If it's not true, if you haven't been set free, then we need to get you born again. He said, yeah, but I understand. You struggle with some things, so forth. It is a transformation process of us learning to live out of our reborn spiritual man that is on the inside of us, living out of that heart and transforming ourselves, letting the Word, well, he transforms us, but with the renewing of our mind. We're really renewing ourselves to think from our spiritual mind that he has given us. But let's look here in Romans 2. We won't get into that right now. Romans 2, 13 says, for it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. 14, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law to themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Hallelujah. Praise God. It will tell us what's right and wrong right down there in our conscience. Anybody ever heard your conscience? You knew. Your consciences tell you, no, don't take another cookie. Mama said not to. If you were born again, even if you weren't, it might have, because she might have beat a conscience into you. A synthetic conscience. But either way, we realized, oh, don't do that. Or we knew, don't steal that candy bar. Maybe it was because Mama said, but if you're born again, you know, you ever had that? I had that hunch. I knew I shouldn't do that. Shoot, why didn't I listen to that? The same reason that I didn't listen to it one time or two, you know, or three, you know, because we're learning to walk in that spiritual life. And the more we yield to that, the more it becomes a part of us. It's a relearning. It's a renewing. It's a transformation from our walking after the natural part of us to walking after our spirit. And we can now see when we're born again, when you're not born again, you can't really trust your conscience. It'll tell you whatever. You don't feel bad about that. I didn't mind. No, whatever you did. Oh, well, I went and got drunk. No big deal. Didn't bother him. You know, if you're born again, it should bother you. Now, don't get me wrong. Because people do things for a while, and after a while, it may not bother you as much, and then pretty soon it doesn't bother you much at all. You sear, that's what he's talking about, you sear your conscience. And we can sear it by what? Not listening to it. By shutting it off in that area. Now it still may poke you a little bit, hopefully, you know. That way we know you're saved, you know. We know God's still working. And sometimes people do struggle with things of the flesh. I'm not talking about that. But if you decide it's okay, God's all right with this, I can walk this way and he's going to accept me, you're wrong. I can't help myself. Yes, you can. You can. And you can put it off. It may take a little time. You may struggle with your emotion and with your flesh, and it may make you cry and scream and everything else, but you can do it. He says, have you yet resisted sin to the shedding of blood? Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes it seems like you're shedding blood when we're overcoming certain things that maybe the enemy has helped you build a stronghold in certain areas. You know, when you get saved, yeah, your spirit was changed, but your mind's not fully renewed. You're still thinking according to this natural man and this natural world. Hallelujah. So anyway, and sometimes we've had things happen, and we've talked about that, abuse, or people have done us wrong, and so forth, and we got bitterness and unforgiveness, and maybe you just, you know, don't know how to overcome things, but we'll help you. Amen. That's what we're here for. To cause things to die to the flesh, ourselves, and to live to God. To put it to death. Through the Spirit, we mortify the deeds of this body. Glory to God. And we do what God says. See, sometimes we got to do it, whether we feel like it or not. Just because you said, Lord, okay, I'm having trouble forgiving that person, but I'm going to do it anyway because you said. And every time I think of him, I'm going to pray for him. And of course, he'll let you think of them several times today. And they may come to your mind several times, but the more you do that, you pray for them, you resist it. Say, no, I choose to forgive. I forgive that person. I don't feel like forgiving, but I do. And we say, no, I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to hold them blameless. And the more we do, and as we are, the Bible says, we exercise ourselves to godliness. In other words, we practice. Just like people train to go to the Olympics, they strip down, they get their clothes just right, they don't want to have a whole lot of things holding them back. We allow ourselves to, and they train, they begin to run, they begin to do it every day, and they change their diet. Amen. We get the Word of God in us, and we pray, and we seek God, and we get ourselves spiritually fit. We forgive. We do what God said. Yes, Lord, we talked about praying for enemies. One of the prayers, things that we're to pray for, is our enemies. But anyway, sin, well, we're here in Romans 6, pretty close. May as well look at that. Verse 14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under law, you're under grace. What then shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? God forbid. Don't you know that to whom you yield your servant, yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Hallelujah. It's our choice. Who are we going to listen to? See, when you're not born again, you're bound to sin. When we get delivered, we really get born again. Now we're free from sin. So we have that choice. We can choose not to, and we can choose to. Hallelujah. Verse 18 says, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Hallelujah. Praise God. Of course, we could look back, go back up to the first verse. Even he said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I'm just letting you see that we were changed. We did receive a power from God. Our nature is not the same. It's not a death nature any longer, but it is a nature that is alive unto the Father. Hallelujah. We were already there, and really here in Ephesians 4, we read that, verse 24. We put on the new man, which after God, what? His image, right? Is created in righteousness and true holiness. That means you. Let's talk about you. Your inner man. Your spiritual man. Amen. It wasn't born again dead. Couldn't be. It had to come to life. Jesus being the light, the only one that was alive to God. Until the price was paid at the cross and he was buried, when he was raised to life, then salvation was made known. It was able to be received. See, that's why Jesus was telling his disciples several times, I've got other things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. You can't understand them right now. He told them a lot of things that they struggled to understand. They didn't have the born-again nature. They weren't alive to God. But because you're alive to God and your spirit is alive with Him and you've got the Spirit of Christ in you, now you can be taught by God. You can understand the things of God and the nature of God that lives on the inside of you, that nature of righteousness and true holiness. Hallelujah. And you have the capacity then to understand the things of God. When we're not born again, the Bible says it's foolishness to them. They don't get it. They don't understand. Well, why do they worship God? Why do they read that Bible? What are they praying for? What's going on? What's that church? What are they doing at that church? Why do they meet together and seek God? Pray. I don't get it. Of course you don't get it. You're not born again. If their person isn't born again, they don't. A lot of times we want to invite people. We should. And sometimes people come to church. That's good. We want them to come to church. But there's a reason we want them to come, right? We want them to hear the good news and hopefully commit their life to God. Receive Jesus and gain that new life. And the nature is changed on the inside. See, if we get them saved, people want to come to church. They want to begin to serve God. Amen. Their nature changed. Glory to God. So it's important that we understand that, that's part of where we're praying from. See, when we're talking to God, we're talking to Him. Really, we're connecting spirit to spirit with God. Amen. Our spirit prayeth. You begin to pray to Him, and we can talk to Him and communicate with God. That's how we communicate with God, with our spirit. And really, that's where we receive from Him. He communicates down on the inside of us. And yeah, we kind of understand it, but it may take a minute to get up into our minds. See, that's where He can download to us truth and we get understandings, but yet we may not be able to explain it all at the very moment because it takes a little time for it to get up here to this computer where we can, oh, okay, I see it now. Okay, yeah, there's one page. Okay, you know, we're a little slower in that part. See, He's just like that. Your spirit can catch things. But your mind has to catch up to it. It has to bring it up to your mind. And that takes a little bit of time. You may have that understanding down here, but to be able to really communicate it and really see it come to pass in your life, it may take you a little bit of time to pray it out and to really think about it and let it meditate in your mind. I know there's some things the Lord has shared with me, you know, and I mean, boom, just a milligram of a second. Phew, oh, I got that. I understand it, but yet I can't quite put it in words, Lord. So it may take me a little time, you know, because your spirit's more like the, oh, what do they call that? The computer part, you know, it's like the hard drive. And then your mind is like the monitor. You know, you can't bring everything up at once, but you bring it up one screen at a time onto that monitor. And you say, oh, okay, I'm getting it now. Okay. Now my mind is getting in and I'm able to communicate it and put it into practice in my life. Hallelujah. But we were saying, you know, put some things off, put things on, our spiritual being on. We do that, you know, of course, like I said, we, you know, how do you put on the belt of truth? Well, one thing, you stop lying. He said, well, why are you saying that, Pastor Doug? Because some people need to hear that. They need to understand. If you walk in truth, we can't go around lying. So, well, Christians lie all the time. Sometimes we lie to ourselves. Uh-oh. So, well, how do you know that? No comment. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Where are we, Lord? We're talking about prayer. But anyway, that communion with God and praying always with the different kinds of prayer. We said the fellowship that we have with the Father. Of course, that begins when we're born again. But there has to be a continual communion with Him. Hallelujah. We talked about there in 1 Corinthians 14:4, when we're praying in other tongues, our spirit is being built up. Jude 20, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. How? Praying in the spirit or praying in other tongues. Your own personal prayer language with God that the Holy Spirit gives us. That our mind is unfruitful, but our spirit is strengthened. And it begins to come back to us in the form of understandings. And we begin to gain greater revelations and I should say illumination of the Word of God. And it begins to become alive to us as never before. And we get that river of life-giving power soaring through our spirit. He said, from your belly will flow rivers. How many know a river has power in it? If you've got rivers in you, you've got some power in you. I got a friend and he was trying to, you know, we were going down the river on a raft and he was going to swim across the river. But he couldn't make it across the river very easily because there's a current in the river. Sometimes you don't always see. Everybody doesn't see all that power that's in you and that's available. But when we begin to pray in the Holy Spirit and begin to allow ourselves to be built up, there's a power that's released. Hallelujah, that takes us beyond our own ability into the ability of God, the strength of God. Whew. Well, anyway, hallelujah. I know I talked about a lot of things tonight, so I hope you're not confused, but we're just following Him and understanding that in prayer we have to have that vital contact with Him. And it's so precious when we just say, Lord, I need you. We just spend a little time. We begin to pray and His presence comes. And He begins to engulf us and draw us and begins to communicate with us. And we realize what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon me, that I would be called a child of God, a son of God, a daughter of God. Whew. You see, I can't lay hands on you really and give you that experience. I can't make a divine. There's certain things God can give, a grace to help you enter in. He can give power, where he'll strengthen you and give you a little extra boost for a little while till you can get yourself in there and really be with Him, and He'll give you a strength for weakness that comes, and He can stir you up. But nobody can really develop that relationship with Him for you. I wish it could happen. If I could take off, if we could, wouldn't that be great? Had a little cap up here, we can just take that off and pour some things in, It'd make it easier, Lord. But that's not the way He designed us, because He wants to walk with us. Even when we face trials and hurts and pains, He wants to fellowship with us in those things and bring healing and bring grace. And we learn things and we grow with Him. Hallelujah. He wants us to grow up to be the living, manifested sons and daughters of the living God, who are full of power, who can see change. Amen. And let our fruits grow. Hallelujah. It's God's desire that we bear much fruit. John 15. We talked about that last week. If we abide in Him and His word abides in us. John 15:7. Ask what we will, He'll do it. But we've got to remember that we've got to abide in Him and let His words abide in us. Sometimes there's conditions to what God says. Amen. Say, well, I want to ask what I want, but I'm not sure. But see, if we abide in Him and we're having that vital contact with Him, our desires become one with Him. See, we maybe our first desire was, whatever it is that you wanted, maybe it was something for ourselves, which is nothing wrong with us. We need to ask for our needs to be met. We need to ask for things if it's something we really desire. Amen. But sometimes I got to be careful what I ask for, because I'll get it. Amen. Then you got to take care of it. Sometimes we ask for things, we get them, and we got to take care of them. If you get a bigger house, then guess what? You got to clean that bigger house. I had a friend of mine, oh man, this big house, we got to clean this thing. Yeah, you bought it. You wanted it. Amen. It's okay. God doesn't mind us having things. That'd be good, And then we got to ask for what? Enough to hire a maid, right? I used to work for a rich lady. It'd be nice. I'll tell you. It's nice. But at the same time, you can gain the whole world and lose your soul, the Bible says. We don't want that either, amen? We don't want to forget Him. It says, when riches come upon us, don't forget. But anyway, we're talking about abiding in Him and our desires become, we remain, we dwell, we continue, we tarry, we endure, we do not depart, we remain as one with Him, not to become something different from Him or separate from Him or to become another, but to be one with God. Amen. When we abide, we stay. Hallelujah. And that word which is written in our heart has to remain within us, the Word of God. And we continue in it. He said, if you continue in my word, John 14, you'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. Amen. Now, John, wait a minute. I think this, I said 14, but I think this John 8:32, sorry. John 8. Thank you, Lord. John 8:31 says, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And really, the truth he was talking about is he's getting ready to go to the cross and they would be born again. But even so, you still have to have truth. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son, we become children of God, we abide with Him forever. So if the Son therefore makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Verse 36. Amen. When Jesus comes, the Son, He set us free. He set us free from what? Very simple, really, in the context. We were free from sin. We were free from control of the enemy. Born again. Hallelujah, which is part of what we're talking about tonight as well. Because we don't walk in darkness any longer. We have the light of life. Verse 8:12. We have that light of life that lives on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when we get that truth living in us. But he said, if you continue in the word, we're his disciples indeed. That would tell me that if we don't continue in the word, then we're not his disciples. We might be a follower, but are we really a disciple? Hallelujah. But anyway, that's where prayer comes in the contact that we have with Almighty God, the divine exchange we talked about that takes place. And in that presence, no one can substitute that. I can't open you up and pour the love of God in you. You have to receive it from God. There's some things that only come from Him. Amen. We can help you receive it. We can agree with you. We can believe with you. But we have to each open our heart to Him. And that takes place in the form of prayer and fellowship and seeking Him and looking to Him. Say, oh, yes, Lord, I need you. Do I ever need you today? There's some days that are just like that. So, well, you know, then we have to say, Lord, yes. And day by day, we gain strength and we exchange any weaknesses we have for that strength. And we begin to be a raging rivers flow from within us. And we are able to stand secure in that armor, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and we're watching for saints. Why? Because we're not praying just to pray, but to get an answer. Hallelujah. What's the use if I'm not expecting an answer? That's why we're letting this word dwell in us, so that we get Bible answers. Amen. I don't want my answer. I want God's answer. I want His power. I already proved I couldn't. If I could have done it, I would already done it. Amen. If we do it ourselves, we'd have done it. That's part of the problem when people come into Jesus. We have to humble ourselves. We have to say, oh, I need a Savior. I can't do it on my own, Lord. I can't save myself. my sin is so great, I've already proven I can't defeat it in my power. That was the whole point of the Old Testament, pointing to Jesus. We couldn't keep the law. They couldn't stop sinning. They couldn't help it. They were bound to it. And so they needed a Savior. And as we do also, we need that divine exchange with Him and that continual fellowship. Amen. Let's stand up. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the truth of it. We thank You that we have been born again, that we have a power with You, that we can fellowship with You in the prayer, Father, and we can come to that place where we realize and we recognize that we're sons of the living God. We've been changed and we're not bound any longer, and we can stand in the gap for others, Lord, and even for our own needs, Lord. We're to ask. You said that You will give freely to us when we allow You, we abide in You, and Your word abides in us, Lord. Oh, we want to walk with You, Father. We want to be Your sons and daughters. We want to fellowship with You in the fullness of Your presence. Oh, Father, I pray that You will draw us, Holy Spirit, this week, Lord. And as we go, Lord, hallelujah, that You go with us. You don't leave us or forsake us, Lord, but You continually commune with us. Help us to take that time, Lord, and develop that communion with You, Lord, continually recognizing that You're with us. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for being with us. Thank You for helping us, Holy Spirit, teaching us of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we thank You now as we go that You will guide and protect and bring us back safe again. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, we pray. Amen and amen.